LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Good morning, friends of television land.
Attention you out there in radio land.
Good morning, WPIX.
Good morning. This is television station WNEW-TV.
Good morning, Starshine.
Stay tuned now for our national anthem.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees.
Well, hi, boys and girls. It's Tuesday night. It's 9 o'clock. That can only mean one thing. Somebody farted. Yes, indeed, it is a very special week here on the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour. 13 weeks. This is show number 13 for yours truly. What does that mean for all of you? Oh, you get a special treat. Because there's a reason there's a number 13 tattooed on my back. Yes, kiddies. Bring down the boys from CKY right there. Yes, this week is a very special show. It is our lucky number 13. Tonight we're going to be showcasing people who died well before their time, or in some instances, just a moment too late. It is the impending doom show. It is the unmistakable death show. It is the people who died way too young, and somebody else can come up with a catchy name for the show, because it's not my job this week. No, my job is to sit here and play music. Can you believe that? How awesome is that? So this week, it is people who died entirely too young. And we're going to start this off, I think, with the most appropriate way possible. With little Jimi Hendrix. That's right, Jimi Hendrix. Let me read you a little information here. James Marshall Hendrix, born Johnny Allen Hendrix, born November 27th, 1942, died September 18th, 1970. Early on September 18th, 1970, Jimi Hendrix died in London under circumstances which have never been fully explained. He had spent the latter part of an evening before a party and was picked up by girlfriend Monica Dannerman and driven to her flat in the hotel. According to the estimated time of death, he died shortly afterwards. Dannerman claimed in her original testimony that Hendrix, the evening before, unknown to her, had taken 9 of her prescribed Vesprax sleeping pills. According to the doctor who initially attended to him, Hendrix was asphyxiated, literally drowned in his own vomit, mainly red wine. How awesome is that? So guy choked to death. That's why when I get drunk, that's why you always hear me say, roll me over. That's how Hendrix died.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level of it is worth. No reason to get excited. The thief in college bold. There are many here.
Go messing with the mic right as I come back. Hello, folks. Welcome to Mr. Murphy's Rock and Roll Power Hour. I am, in fact, Mr. Murphy, and we are on lucky number show 13 here. Tonight, we're going to be talking about artists who died before their time, or maybe just a slight tad after. So that was some Jimi Hendrix, who asphyxiated on his own vomit, supposedly. Interesting thing about that, too. They never actually determined how Jimi Hendrix died. But some of the information that came out later, some things that went on, his girlfriend at the time changed her testimony a couple of times. She had said a few times that Hendrix was alive when he went into the back of the ambulance. Some of the people who were there on the scene claimed he wasn't. So it's kind of unsure exactly what happened. But sure enough, we lost a great man that day. So moving right along. Anyone remember that song? If you post in the chat room and know where that's from, I'll give you a porn card. I have some with me, I think. Moving right along here, folks. Our next song of the night. We're going to play Rock of Ages by Def Leppard. Stephen Maynard Clark, April 23rd, 1960 to January 8th, 1999, was one of the co-lead guitarists for British hard rock band Def Leppard up until his death in 1991. On January 8th, 1991, Clark was found dead on his couch by his girlfriend, Janie Dean. The autopsy revealed he died from a mixture of antidepressants, painkillers prescribed for a rib injury, and alcohol. There was no evidence of suicidal intent. Daniel Van Affen, Clark's drinking companion the night before, testified that the two went to a local pub and returned to the guitarist's home at midnight to watch a video. Van Affen said Clark drank a triple vodka, a quadruple vodka, a double brandy within 30 minutes. When Clark passed out on the couch, Van Affen said he left. Dr. Ian West, the pathologist who performed the autopsy, testified that Clark's blood alcohol level was three times the British legal limit, and the antidepressant and painkillers were both found to be exceeding normal therapeutic levels. The anti-anxiety drug Valium was also found to be at a therapeutic level. Later on, his girlfriend sold all his guitars. So with that, we are going to move along here to a little bit of Def Leppard for you guys. Here's some Rock of Ages.
Montag, lieben, draußen, globen.
That's Def Leppard, Rock of Ages. Yet another man who died before his time. Or some people might say, just slightly thereafter. So, moving right along, folks, you are listening to the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour. I, as you may have guessed it, am Mr. Murphy, because if I'm not, I've stolen someone else's show. Mwahaha. No, I'm kidding. This is totally my show. You are listening to the Power Hour, and tonight, it is lucky number 13. We are featuring artists and bands that died before their time. Pretty cool, huh? Next up on this list, this very sad list, but it's a list I felt I had to do tonight. We're going to talk about Bon Scott. In September of 1974, Bon Scott replaced Dave Evans in AC/DC. The band had recorded only one single with Evans, Can I Sit Next to You, Girl? Rockin' Parlor was off the album, I do believe. Eventually, the song was re-recorded with Bon Scott as Can I Sit Next to You, Girl? Was the track number 7 on the Australian TNT album. Well, on February 19th, 1980, Bon Scott passed out after a night of heavy drinking in London and was left in a car owned by an acquaintance named Alistair Kinnear. The following morning, Kinnear rushed to King's College Hospital in Camberwell, where Scott was pronounced dead on arrival, although common folklore claims pulmonary aspiration of vomit, that means he choked to death on his own puke, was the cause of Scott's death. The official cause is listed as acute alcohol poisoning and death by misadventure. Scott's family buried him in Fermentil, Western Australia, the area to which they had immigrated when he was a boy. Inconsistencies in the official accounts of Scott's death have been cited in conspiracy theories, which suggest that Scott died of a heroin overdose or was killed by exhaust fumes redirected into the car, or that Kinnear did not exist. Additionally, Scott was asthmatic, and the temperature was below freezing the morning of his death. So, I don't really know why there would be a lot of controversy about that. I mean, yeah, the dude died. It's pretty bad. Sounds to me, honestly, if it were me, I'd say it'd be vomit asphyxiation. But nope, it was acute alcohol poisoning. Or so they'd have us believe.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls. I've got big balls. They're such big balls, and they're plenty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, and I've got big balls. They're such big balls, dirty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. They're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night. Oh, we've got big balls!
I've got really big balls, in case any of you are wondering. Which I'm sure some of you are. Folks, you are listening to the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour. I am, in fact, the one and only Mr. Murphy. Well, there was that one teacher in gym class back in elementary school, but he doesn't count anymore because I'm sure he's dead. So, folks, this show, lucky number 13. Tonight's show is all about guys who died under strange circumstances, maybe too early, things of that sort. And I'm sure this next artist you will all agree on. James Douglas Morrison, born December 8th, 1943, died July 3rd, 1979, or excuse me, 1971, was an American singer, songwriter, poet, writer, and film director. He is best known as the lead singer and lyricist of The Doors, and is widely considered to be one of the most charismatic frontmen in rock music history. He was also the author of several books of poetry and the director of a documentary and short film. Morrison is known for his baritone vocals. Well, Morrison died on July 3rd, 1971, aged 27. In the official account of his death, he was found in a Paris apartment bathtub by Corson, his girlfriend. Pursuant to French law, no autopsy was performed because the medical examiner claimed to have found no evidence of foul play. But the absence of an official autopsy has left many questions regarding Morrison's cause of death. So I figured I would play a little Doors for you guys tonight, kind of make this a well-rounded show. I wanted to make sure that we had more than just than people who OD'd. We had people who committed suicide. I wanted to make sure we had a good round feeling here, and I definitely hope this brings that to you. So without further ado, my favorite Doors song, Riders on the Storm. Thank you.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. An actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
There you go, folks. That was Riders on the Storm by The Doors, Jim Morrison. God, didn't that suck? Not the song, I mean, just the fact that he died the way he did. You know, there are a lot of great stories about The Doors and about Morrison, and I absolutely inspire all of you to go out and read about some of them. There's some great stories out there. So we're going to move right along here, folks. Still no answer, though, where does moving right along come from, but that's all right. Bradley James Nowell. Born February 22nd, 1968, died May 25th, 1996. He was an American musician who served as lead singer and guitarist of the popular ska punk band Sublime. He died at the age of 28 from a heroin overdose shortly before the release of Sublime's self-titled major label debut. 7 days after Nowell's managed Detroit, I can't even pronounce her last name, Sublime embarked on a 5-day tour through California cities as preparation for a summer tour of Europe. The European tour was intended as a means of promotion of their upcoming major label debut album. On May 25th, 1996, after a show in Petamula, the band was scheduled to head up north. Before checking out of San Francisco's Ocean View Motel, Sublime's drummer, Gough, who was sharing a room with him at the time, found Newell's naked body lying on the bed with his feet still on the floor. Nowell had died of an accidental heroin overdose at age 28. Nowell's last performance took place at the Phoenix Theater in Petaluma, California. Nowell was cremated. His ashes were spread over his favorite surf spot, Surfside. A headstone was placed at the Westminster Memorial in Westminster, California, in his memory. That is Sublime. Now, I could have played any of a million radio items that have been played a million times over, but I chose not to. I chose to go with a little more deep cut, if you will. You're listening to Sublime on the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour.
You got your hair perm, you got your red dress on, screaming that second gear was such a turn on. And the fog forming on my window tells me that the morning's here and you'll be gone before too long. Taught you those new tricks. Damn, I shouldn't start that talk. But life is one big question when you're staring at the clock. And the answer's always waiting at the liquor store. 40 ounces to freedom, so I take that walk. And I know that. Oh, no, I'm not going back.
he was going to be here at like 2 o'clock. I haven't even seen him. He owes me $20, man. That's fucking... I'm not dealing with that fucking news, number one. Take those bottles back, Eric.
And you look so fine. When you lie, it just don't show. But I know which way the wind blows. A 40-ounce to freedom is the only chance I have.
Sublime doesn't get enough credit. I mean, it is a really great band. They have some great music out there. A lot of the stuff that gets radio play, it's like Santeria, Date Rape, a couple of other ones like that. 40 Ounces of Freedom is a great song, especially since it gets outside of that normal safe zone that you hear a lot of radio play get these days. So, folks, you are listening to the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour. I am, in fact, Mr. Murphy. Tonight's show, lucky number 13, people who died before their time. Some would say. So that was 40 Ounces of Freedom, Sublime. We're going to shift gears here for a second and talk about Janis Lynn Joplin. Born January 19th, 1943, died October 4th, 1970. Janis Lynn Joplin was an American singer, songwriter, and music arranger from Port Arthur, Texas. She rose to prominence in the late 1960s as the lead singer of Big Brother and the Holding Company, and later as a solo artist. In 2004, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Janis Joplin as number 46 on the list of the greatest 100 artists of all time, and number 28 on its 2,100 greatest singers of all time. The last recording Janis Joplin completed was Mercedes-Benz, and a birthday greeting to John Lennon, Happy Trails, composed by Dick Evans, on October 1st, 1970. Lennon, whose birthday was October 9th, later told Dick Cavett that her taped greeting arrived at his home after her death. On Saturday, October 3rd, Joplin visited Sunset Sound Studios in Los Angeles to listen to the instrumental track for Nick Gravitt's song, Buried Alive in the Blues, prior to recording the vocal track scheduled for the next day. When she failed to show up at the studio by Sunday afternoon, producer Paul Rothschild became concerned. Full Tilt Boogie's road manager, John Cook, drove to the Landmark Motor Hotel, since renamed the Highland Gardens Hotel, where Joplin had been a guest since August 24th. He saw Joplin's psychedelically painted Porsche still in the parking lot. Upon entering her room, he found her dead on the floor. The official cause of death was a heroin overdose, possibly combined with the effects of alcohol. Janis Joplin is one of the greatest artists of American life. I think it's a real shame that we lost her the way we did and when we did. There was so much more that she could have given to us. And this one's kind of sad.
Like you on my own remain.
God damn, that woman's voice makes me hard. You are listening to the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour. I am Mr. Murphy. This week's topic for discussion, musically that is Lucky Number 13. People who died before their time, or some would say, just after. As would be the case with our next artist. Some people argue that this man is wholly responsible for the destruction of music as we knew it heading into the 1990s. Others say he helped shape a generation, namely my own. Folks, we are talking about Kurt Donald Cobain, born February 20th, 1967, died April 5th, 1994, as an American musician who served as lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter for the Seattle-based grunge band Nirvana. Kurt Cobain did, in fact, change music as we knew it at the time, and ultimately as we know it today. On April 8th, 1994, Cobain's body was discovered in his Lake Washington home by an electrician who had arrived to install a security system. Apart from a minor amount of blood coming out of Cobain's ear, Smith, that would be the electrician, reported seeing no visible signs of trauma and initially believed that Cobain was asleep until he saw the shotgun pointing at his chin. A suicide note was found that said, "I haven't felt the excitement of listening to as well as creating music along with really writing for too many years now." A high concentration of heroin, traces of Valium were also found in his body. Cobain's body had been lying there for days, the coroner's report estimated that he had died on April 5th, 1994. So they had found him 3 days later. Now, there is, again, a lot of controversy, things that are rolling around. Why would a guy who had just checked himself out of rehab, had bought this new house for his family that had was seemingly on the right track, why would he kill himself? Well, I don't know. All I know is that the guy's music is fantastic. And if he had, in fact, not died, we would not have Foo Fighters because Dave Grohl was the drummer for Nirvana. So we're going to play a song that I personally believe is one of Nirvana's best. So here we are with a little heart-shaped box. You're listening to the Power Hour.
I've been drawn into your magnetism.
Wow. You know, I just cannot get enough of that song. Heart-Shaped Box is probably one of my favorite Nirvana songs. Probably right up there with Rape Me and that cover of The Man Who Sold the World that they did on the MTV Live, which is actually a David Bowie song. So, that was that. So, who do we have left here? We have a couple of artists left. We're coming up here on our time. Just want to say howdy to the people in the chat room. Hi, Leanne! And you. I have no idea who you is. And Danger Boy is hanging around. Danger Boy, who listens to the View from Vegas show, which comes on just an hour before me. So if you're into sports, sport betting, things like that, those are the guys you want to listen to. They're on at 8 p.m. And I am on here at noon. Yes, we did cover Bradley Knoll there, Leanne, but we did not cover Shannon Hoon. Next up, though, is this is a weird one. And hang with me because this one's kind of long to read. Charles Hardin Holly, known professionally as Buddy Holly, September 7th, 1963 to February 3rd, 1959, was an American singer-songwriter and a pioneer of rock and roll. The change of spelling Holly, H-O-L-L-E-Y, to Holly as it's known today, came about because of an error in the contract he was asked to sign, listing him as Buddy Holly. The spelling was then adopted for his professional career. Holly began a solo tour with other notable performers, including Dion and the Belmonts, Richie Valens, JP the Big Bopper Richardson. After a performance in Green Bay, Wisconsin, from the Riverside Ballroom on February 1st, the tour moved to the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, on February 2nd. Afterwards, Buddy Holly chartered a Beechcraft Bonanza to take him and his new backup band, Tommy Alsop and Waylon Jennings, to Fargo, North Dakota, en route to play the next leg of the Winter Dance Party Tour at the Armory in Moorhead, Minnesota. Carl Bunch missed the flight as he had been hospitalized with frostbite for three days earlier. The Big Bopper asked Jennings for his spot on the four-seater plane as he was recovering from the flu. Richie Valens was still signing autographs at the concert site when Alsop walked in and told him it was time to go. Valens begged for a seat on the plane. Alsop pulled a 50-cent coin out of his pocket. They flipped the coin. Alsop lost. The plane took off in a light snow and gusty winds around midnight, but crashed only a few minutes later. The wreckage was discovered several hours later by the plane's owner, Jerry Dwyer, some 8 miles from the airport and on the property of Albert Jewell. The crash killed Holly, Valens, Richardson, and the 21-year-old pilot, Roger Peterson. Holly's body, along with those of Valens and Richardson, was thrown from the wreckage. The pilot's body remained in the wreckage. All suffered severe multiple injuries. Without any doubt, they had all died on impact, with the plane hitting the ground at 170 miles an hour. While theories around as to the exact cause of the crash, an official determination of pilot error rendered by the Civil Aeronautics Board. Although the crash received a good deal of local coverage, it was displaced in the national news by an accident that occurred on the same day in New York City when an American Airlines Flight 320 crashed during an instrument landing approach at LaGuardia, killing 65. Don McLaren referred to it as the day the music died. So, Buddy Holly, goddamn, if you're like even remotely into any sort of rock or rockabilly, anything like that, goddamn, Buddy Holly.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. 'Cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your dirt and loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yeah. So if we ever part, then I'll leave you. You sit and hold me and you tell me boldly that someday, well, I'll be
day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day.
Buddy Holly, there you are, folks. Died in a plane wreck. His wife, I was just talking about in the chat room, his wife was actually 6 months pregnant at the time. They had just been married for about 6 months. So she was actually a widow. And, man, that was rough. She actually later miscarried the child, too. So there was no little Buddy Holly Jr. running around. Folks, you are listening to the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour. I am live here every week, Tuesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m., just rapping about anything, bringing out music, and trying to do a little bit of information for you, trying to introduce you to new music, to old music, and to things that you should have on your iPods, Zunes, or whatever it is you keep. It is a podcast. You can not only listen to it live, but you can download it at our website, spankwagon.net. Hey, wait, what's Spankwagon? Why, that's another show I do every Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. Less music, more profanity. Isn't that fantastic? Folks, we are wrapping up here our lucky number 13 show, but trust me, we could not get out of here without the last two guys on the list. Elvis Aaron Presley, born January 8th, 1935, died August 16th, 1977. Middle name is sometimes written as A-R-O-N, was an American singer, musician, and actor, a cultural icon, and is commonly referred to by his first name only, and as the King of Rock and Roll, or just as The King. Elvis Aaron Presley. Little bit of tip for you guys, or information. My aunt actually gave Elvis his last flu shot ever. Fucking awesome. Elvis was supposed to go on tour. Another tour was getting. This was after the Hawaii tour, and after the Vegas tour that he did here, trying to bring his career back. And it was actually about to go full swing here. Well, another tour was scheduled to begin on August 17th of 1977, but Graceland, the day before, Presley was found in his bathroom floor by his fiancée, Ginger Alden. According to medical investigator, Presley had stumbled or crawled several feet before he died. He apparently had been using the toilet at the time. Death was officially pronounced at 3:30 p.m. at the Baptist Memorial Hospital. Now, again, there's a little more controversy about how he died and what brought about. Did he OD on the toilet? Was it, you know, there's a nerve. Okay, there is a nerve in your asshole that will trigger a heart attack if you take too big of a poop. I can't even begin to explain how it works, but there's a nerve there that does that. So we are going to play some Elvis Presley. I do believe this is the first time I've played any Elvis on the show, which is quite frankly a shame because I am, in fact, a huge Elvis fan. So here's Elvis on the Power Hour.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long. Take me to your heart, for it's there that I belong and will never part. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me dear, tell me you are mine. I'll be yours. love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
Elvis Aaron freaking Presley. The king of rock and roll died on the toilet and left his last piece of kingly evidence floating in the toilet behind him. Folks, we are rapidly running out of time. We're going to go just a few minutes long tonight. You are listening to the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour live every week here on LVRocks.com. Just want to say big thanks to the guys at LVRocks for letting me come on the air and play and have some fun. Now, if you're going to do a Died Too Early show, you really have to include this last song because, or this last artist, because this is one of those ones that everybody knows the name, but I don't know if everybody knows the story. Folks, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Born October 3rd, 1954, died August 27, 1990, was an American blues rock guitarist whose broad appeal made him an influential electric blues guitarist. In 2003, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Stevie Ray Vaughan number 7 in its list of top 100 guitarists of all time, and Classic Rock magazine ranked him number 3 in the top 100 wildest guitar heroes in 2007. The musicians had experienced a long bus ride back to Chicago. However, Vaughn was informed by a member of Clapton's crew that the three seats were open on one of the helicopters returning to Chicago with Clapton's crew. Enough for Vaughn, his brother Jimmy, and Jimmy's wife Connie. It turned out there was only one seat left. Vaughn requested it from his brother, who obliged. At 12:44 a.m., pilot Jeffrey Brown guided the helicopter off the ground. Shortly after takeoff, the helicopter crashed into a ski slope, and all five on board were killed. Although the crash occurred only just over half a mile from the takeoff point, it went unnoticed by those at the concert site because they were still listening to the music. The search for the wreckage began at 5 a.m., finally being located 2 hours later with the help of a locator beacon. The cause of the crash is believed to have been pilot error. Folks, I give you Stevie Ray Vaughan.
The sky is crying. Can you see the tears roll down the street? The sky is crying. Can you see the tears roll down the street? The
penis is a tear rolled down my nose.
On you, you'll lose your hair.
Well, folks,
your teeth,
that's about it for me.
Your knife will fall out of its sheath, but you still don't like to leave before the end of the movie.
Just want to say a big thanks to the guys here at LB Rocks for letting me come on the air, monkey around in the studio, flick boogers at things. Thanks to all of you for listening, especially guys in the chat room. Danger Boy, who hung out all night with me. Leanne, my buddy Leanne, she came to say hello. By the way, Trencher, she's the one I was telling you about. Leanne, by the way, Trencher, he's the one I was telling you about. Trencher, who always records the show and puts it up on the website for me. Spankwagon.net, where you can not only listen to my show, but you can listen to the big show, Spankwagon. We're also live every Friday from 7 to 9 Pacific time at lvrocks.com or on spankwagon.net. Join us there. Don't forget, on our website, we have a chat room, or excuse me, we have a forum where you can discuss things like how awesome the Mr. Murphy Rock and Roll Power Hour show is. How great would that be? Holy shit! You can also talk about other random crap. Please, come and use the forums.
People you hate.
Prove me right. I said if we had them, people would use them. Again, big thanks to everyone who helps me make this show possible, the people who I get opinions from, those of you that are listening, those of you that download and listen to the show, those of you that listen live. I encourage everyone, please, if you have something to say, say it. And email it to me, murphy@spankwagon.net. Isn't that amazing?